theme of our message this morning is the blessed hope. What is the blessed hope? But if you do a Google search on the term, you will find 1.11 million entries. And that is when the term is placed in quotes so that only the articles that have the exact phrase is returned. It is that well-known and popular. If you scroll through the list of entries, you find that the phrase is used mostly as part of the names of Christian churches and organizations. Just last week, one church called Blessed Hope was registered in Singapore. But if you zero in on the articles where the term is being expounded or explained, you realize very quickly that most of the articles and sermons posted on the subject equate the Blessed Hope with what is known as the secret rapture. Many believe that the Blessed Hope is the believer's hope of being caught up to be with Christ before a great tribulation is poured upon the earth. But what exactly is the Blessed Hope? Well, the term actually originated from Paul's letter to Titus. Paul had written to Titus to encourage him in his ministry. In chapter 2, he gives Titus some instruction on what to emphasize in his ministry to various people in the church. But he does not stop there. He proceeds to give some reasons why such behavior and attitude is reasonable. He suggests that we are debtors of grace, we are students of grace, and we have a blessed hope. We have already looked on these three reasons in brief 2 Sabbaths ago. But this morning we want to spend a little more time to consider the blessed hope and why this hope should spur us to adorn the doctrine of Christ in our life. Paul says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men," verse 11, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Well, for our purpose this morning, we want to ask 4 questions. First, what is the blessed hope? Secondly, who has this hope? Thirdly, why is this hope blessed? And fourthly, how should this blessed hope affect us? First then, what is the blessed hope? Now make no mistake, the biblical concept of hope is not merely a wish. When we say, "I hope that it does not rain tomorrow," there is no certainty. It is only a wish. It may or may not come true. If it does not rain, then we'll be happy. If it rains, well, we pout our lips and we carry on to do whatever we need to do according to our contingency plans. Well, very little hangs upon a wish. The Christian hope, on the other hand, does make a difference to those who have it. It is not merely a wish. It is an earnest expectation. The apostle to the Hebrews says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Hope is similar to faith. It is the substance of things expected, which is not yet given. "For we are saved by hope," says Paul, "but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why doth he yet hope for?" Paul says this in Romans 8:24. Hope, in other words, is like having in your hand something which is promised and expected but not yet given. It is related to faith. Hope is never ill when faith is well, says John Bunyan. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is seeing with spiritual eyes, spiritual reality that is not yet revealed to our eyes of flesh. When we say that we have faith in Christ, we are saying that we see Him with spiritual eyes and believe Him though we have not seen Him with our bodily eyes. Hope, on the other hand, is to hold with our spiritual hands something that is promised but not yet given in full. By faith, we know Christ, and so our lives are transformed. We live by faith, not by sight. Similarly, we live by hope. Hope moves us to live as those who already have what is promised in our hands. By faith, that which is unseen influences our life as much as, if not more, than that which is seen. So the reality of what Christ has done for us should affect us more than what our brethren do for us. Similarly, by hope, that which is promised influences our life as much as what we already receive, if not more. So the reality of the coming of Christ and His future blessings should affect us more than the praises and gifts of men which we receive today. The blessed hope is clearly a reference to the second coming of Christ and all the benefits associated with it. And Paul says in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now the word "and" there can also be translated as "even." Looking for that blessed hope, even the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So children, if you're asked what is the blessed hope, don't scratch your head. What is the blessed hope? I heard the term, it's so familiar to me, but I don't know what it is. What is the coming of Christ and all the benefits that He brings? Just remember this verse, the "and" there can also be translated as "even," and you cannot get it wrong. Our hope is in Christ today, and our hope is not only in this life. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, says Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:19. There is something far more than what we have received today reserved unto that perfect day when we shall see Christ. It is something that will bring immense joy for those who receive it. It is Christ revealed together with all the blessings that He has promised that He will bring with Him for those who hope in Him. This is why we call it the blessed hope. But who has this hope? This is the second question that we must ask. Well, it's obvious that not everyone has this hope. The word translated "all men" in verse 11 must not be misunderstood. This is all men without distinction rather than all men without exception. If the blessed hope were for all men without exception, then it would not be something that motivates good behavior and attitude, would it? Why should it motivate you if you have the same hope regardless of what you believe or how you live your life or what you do? Clearly, the blessed hope is not for everyone. And neither is the blessed hope for those who are merely expecting Christ to return. Think of the Lord's parable of the 10 virgins. The whole point of the parable is that all professing believers are expecting the return of Christ. No Christian is not expecting the return of Christ. Well, if he doesn't expect the return of Christ, we don't call him a Christian, he's a liberal or anything, but not a Christian. But every professing Christian, whom we can call a Christian, is expecting the return of Christ. However, some are expecting a miss. They are like the five foolish virgins. They are looking forward to the coming of Christ, but their hearts have not been renewed, and they care not about pleasing Christ or preparing for his return. They make no preparation. They have an empty profession of faith. Who then has the blessed hope? Well, no doubt those who have experienced grace, who have oil in their lamps. These are those who live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 12. These are those who walk not in iniquity, but in holiness, and are zealous of good works. Verse 14. These are those who look for the blessed hope. These are not like the five foolish virgins, but like the five wise virgins. Remember that faith is not faith if it does not transform our life. Faith without works is dead, says James. So hope is not hope if it does not transform our life. Hope that does not move us to live with the coming of Christ and eternity in view is not hope. Call it a mere wish. Call it a dream. But don't call it hope. Hope is only for those whose heart has been renewed, who live by faith and by hope in Christ. Hope is what those who acknowledge that they are bound for glory have. Those who hope know that they are bound for glory and know that they are created, redeemed for the purpose of glorifying God both in this life and in the life to come. Hope is in the heart of those who, on account of their enslavement to sin today, wish that they would be with Christ, which is far better. But why? Why is this hope blessed? This is our third question. Now, there are many reasons, but let me highlight five. First of all, this hope is blessed because our Lord and our Savior, whom we love, will return. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he forgave us and redeemed us. Like the woman who washed the Lord's feet with her tears, all true believers will love the Lord because they know that they have their sins washed by the blood of Christ. Our hearts are filled with gratitude to him. Therefore, no doubt, just the sight of him will fill our hearts with unspeakable joy. Heaven is the most desirable place to be for believers. Not because there will be angels there, not because our departed loved ones will be there, but because our Savior will be there and will be with our Savior forever and ever when we reach heaven. Here's the first reason. Why is the blessed hope? For we will see our Savior, the lover of our soul. But secondly, the blessed hope is blessed because our Lord will be highly exalted. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Power and love, majesty and mercy will then appear together in highest luster to the terror and confusion of the wicked, but to the everlasting triumph and rejoicing of the godly, says Matthew Henry. If today it thrills our heart to see our loved ones doing well and receiving a prize in school, How much more will our hearts overflow with praise when we see our King lifted up and praised by angels and by all men through all ages. Here's the second reason why the blessed hope is blessed. For Christ our Lord, whom we love, will be highly, highly exalted. But thirdly, the blessed hope will be blessed because we will be changed. We will be perfected. No more will we struggle with sin. No more will we struggle with sorrow and infirmities which are common for us today. We'll be lavish with the riches of the glory of His inheritance. The imperfection that trouble us today will be a thing of the past. There will be no more unbelief, no more guilt, no more angst, no more frustration, no more anxiety, no more regret, no more sense of inadequacy, no more shame. There will only be joy and peace and love. Hope will give way to joy, peace and love. And the greatest of these is love. Heaven is a place of love. Heaven is a place of joy and peace and love flowing from the throne of God. We'll be changed to enjoy heaven. This is why the blessed hope is blessed. But fourthly, the blessed hope will be blessed because Christ will reward us and bring us into glory with Him. We will hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to hearing those words from our Lord. If I but hear those two words, "Well done," I know that it's all worth it. All the tears, all the sorrows, all the sacrifices, all the heartaches, all the accusations, all the misunderstandings, all the labors, all will be worth it. This is why this is a blessed hope. But fifthly, the blessed hope will be blessed because all injustice will be righted and all righteousness will be vindicated. Today, those who walk godly in Christ Jesus often do so at great cost. Often they experience more pain than they do joy. They are more often misunderstood than appreciated. They are more often persecuted than rewarded. More often are they insulted than praise. There is often more tears than laughter. Were it not for the blessed hope, we will be of all men most miserable. Thank God for the blessed hope. Thank God that when it is manifested, all wrongs will be righted, all tears will be wiped away, all the saints of the Lord will walk with Christ and will be vindicated forever and ever. Then will our Lord replace every tears with a garment of joy and a crown of glory, that we may be made partakers of His glory forever and ever. This is why the blessed hope is truly blessed. The blessed hope is blessed for this reason. Thank God for the blessed hope. For by it, believers may lift our eyes and look, for our deliverance is nigh. But how should this blessed hope affect us? What a wish does not affect our decision. We are thinking of having a church picnic in the garden. We wish that it does not rain. We pray that it does not rain. But at the same time, we make contingency plans. We will not risk having 100 people turn up in the park with nowhere to go if it rains. The thing is, wishes are nothing but wishes. There is no substance in them. So we allow our wishes, we do not allow our wishes to affect the course of our life. We make decisions and preparations without regard to what our wishes may be. But not so for hope. Hope has substance. If we have hope, it should affect us as much as if what is hoped for is in our grasp. This is why we equate hope with spiritual hands, faith with spiritual eyes. Let me put it this way. Imagine you're lost in the desert. You have found shelter under a rock, but you have very little water left. You are thirsty. What will you do? Will you simply walk around aimlessly? Would you not rather look all around? Would you not assess which direction you should head for where you could possibly find water? If you see some clouds and greeneries in the distance, would you not head in that direction? You have not seen the water, but you have some hope, and therefore you walk in that direction, wouldn't you? Now hope, biblical hope, is much more than that. For in biblical hope, you have seen it. You have it in your hand. And you know that in that direction, you must go. Because the Spirit ensures you in your heart that you have it. Now, if we have the blessed hope, therefore, our lives should be changed. If you have a blessed wish, you can stay put and do nothing. It makes no difference. But you have a blessed hope, it should spur you to take action. It should change your life. This is what Paul is suggesting in our text, where he reminds us that we should adorn the doctrine of Christ, verse 10, as we look for the blessed hope, verse 13. If we have the blessed hope, our life cannot remain status quo, nor aimless. Those who have the blessed hope cannot live as if they have no hope. But in what ways should our life change? But the Apostle Paul suggests five ways. First, those who have the blessed hope seek to live soberly. This is the first virtue mentioned in verse 11. To live soberly is to live with a sound mind, to be purposeful in the way we conduct ourselves, is to be men, women and children of purpose. It is to exercise self-discipline, self-control in regard to ourselves. It is to avoid giving in to our passions and conducting ourselves according to our feelings and emotions rather than principles, godly principles. Those who have no hope will indulge themselves in the pleasures of this life without regard to long-term effects, not to mention eternal consequences. If life consists only in what we experience today, what we can grasp today, what we can gain today, why not simply indulge and enjoy life to the fullest while you can? Or so they think, who have no hope. But secondly, those who have the blessed hope seek to live righteously. This is the second virtue mentioned in verse 11. Or rather, verse 12. To live righteously is to live according to God's word. Now, the third virtue that Paul will mention is godliness. The first virtue has to do with ourselves. The third has to do with our relationship with God. So most commentators believe that Paul is thinking about our relationship with others in the second virtue. If this is right, then to live righteously would be to love our neighbor as ourselves. It is to seek to do good unto all men, especially to those of the household of faith. Those who have no hope get disillusioned with doing good quickly. They may try to imitate Christ, to lay down their lives for others, but they soon get discouraged and disappointed because they realize that most people, including professing Christians, usually think only about their own happiness first. So they pour out their lives for the good of others, but they soon realize that few would reciprocate. They take care of the happiness of others, but few will care about their happiness. How do they continue to do good, to live righteously? Those who have no hope often give up in cynical disillusionment and despair. But the children of God, whose eyes are open and upon the blessed hope, continue with joy, for the Lord is their strength. They know that they will receive the approval of their heavenly Master at the end of their journey. And so their lives are changed, and they seek to pour out their lives, to lay down their lives in imitation of their Master. But likewise, thirdly, those of the blessed hope seek to live godly. This is, as I mentioned, the third virtue highlighted by the apostle in verse 12. To live godly is to live piously with a view to glorify God. Paul says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." This is the chief end of men. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So to live godly is to live with the glory of God in view. Those who do not have the blessed hope cannot about living a life that glorifies God. They cannot about having a godly life. Why? Because they either do not believe that God will really judge sinners, or they think that death ends everything. Think about it. The fiancé of a certain young woman went on a long journey. He promised to come back to marry her, but years pass and the young lady does not hear from him. Will she continue to wait for him? She will wait for him if she loves him and has hope that he will return one day. But if she has no hope, will she wait? Will she keep herself pure for him? Will she continue to speak of him as her husband-to-be? Will she not rather forget him and marry another? Those who have the blessed hope knows that their heavenly husband is coming back. And so they seek to be godly, to magnify his name, and to magnify the name of his Father day by day in view of that blessed hope. But now fourthly, if we have the blessed hope, we will want to purify ourselves. Christ came to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto himself a peculiar people. Verse 14. Those who have the blessed hope are those who are redeemed. Therefore, those who have the blessed hope will want to keep themselves pure. This is also what the Apostle John reminds us to do in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, where he says, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he, the Lord, is pure." Those who have the blessed hope do not need the sinful carnal pleasures of this world to keep them going. Of course, they may enjoy every legitimate pleasure that the Lord allows them, but they keep themselves from anything that they perceive to be impure, sinful, and immoral in the sight of God. Anything that dishonors the Lord. So they flee fornication and avoid all appearance of evil. They seek to be holy because the Savior whom they love and is expecting is holy. But finally, those who have a blessed hope will be zealous to do good works. Since Christ gave himself to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Those who are looking forward to the coming of Christ will no doubt seek to do good. Because firstly, they know that one of the reasons why their masters redeemed them was so that they might be zealous of good works. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But secondly, they will do good works because they are motivated by the fact that their master has promised to reward them upon his return. Behold, I come quickly, he says, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Those who have no hope will have little motivation to do good work, because doing good always involves a degree of sacrifice, or what is felt to be a sacrifice. What we are called to do good works out of gratitude rather than out of a desire for reward is almost impossible humanly to persist in doing good unless we have the blessed hope. Thank God therefore for the blessed hope. The blessed hope is graciously given by the Lord to spur us on to do good works. This is the blessed hope. Its nature, its beneficiary, its blessedness, and its effects. The question we must ask ourselves this morning is, do I have the blessed hope? Am I sincerely looking to the blessed hope? If so, am I living as one who have the blessed hope? Or am I living as one who does not? Beloved brethren, young people and children, every true believer has the blessed hope. I trust that your faith is genuine and that you do sincerely love the Lord and seek to walk in his ways as his disciples. If so, are you being motivated by the blessed hope? Are you living soberly and purposefully? Are you living righteously with respect towards others? Are you living godly before the face of God? Are you keeping yourself pure? Are you zealous of good works? If your answer is no or unsure to any of these things, then may I urge you to seek the Lord's help, to feel that which is behind in you. May I urge you to meditate on the blessed hope until you can say in your heart, Maranatha, come quickly, O Lord. But let us especially, beloved brethren, pray for one another, that the blessed hope may fill our hearts with the joy and confidence that empowers us to live for Christ in all the changing scenes of life that our Savior would sovereignly lead us through. Blessed are you, beloved brethren, young people and children, if you have the blessed hope. hope you will never be ashamed. Yet a little while, and you will see your great God and Savior face to face. Yet a little while, and you'll be singing praises to your Master and Lord with saints made perfect, just and made perfect, and the angels. Yet a little while, and you will be perfected. Yet a little while, and you will be vindicated. Yet a little while, and all your tears will be wiped away, and you'll no more struggle with sin, with bodily infirmities, with infirmities in your heart. And you will hear your Master and Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Therefore labor on, beloved brethren and children. But I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Maranatha, come quickly, O Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the blessed hope that is lodged in our hearts. We know that it's not there by nature. We know that we did not put it there. We could not excite ourselves sufficiently to put such a hope in our heart. So we thank Thee for Thy Spirit who has quickened us, who has given us faith, who has given us hope, that we not only see our Savior with our eyes of faith, but we embrace Him with our hands, our spiritual hands. Oh, how we thank Thee for this hope. We confess that sometimes, because of the remnant of corruption and because of our daily failures, we do not hope as much as we should. We thank Thee that it's always there. And so we pray that Thy Spirit will always stir in our heart that hope, to remind us that this life is in preparation for that eternal day, that we may live in view of that day when we shall see our Savior face to face, when we will enjoy glory forever and ever in His presence. Oh, help us, Lord, we pray, that we may be a people that live by faith and by hope. Grant us that we may be motivated for Christ's sake. For we pray these things in His name. Amen. Well, shall we close by singing from Psalm 71? O Lord, my hope and confidence is placed in Thee alone. Verse 1 to verse 8, Tunis Polis. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen.